sing a song with a soaring melody.
If I had no eyes to see the world and creation's majesty, if I had no ears and could not hear the breeze or the falling rain, would my soul rejoice and lift your name on high? Would I still praise you?
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 Would the faith and love I have for you be strong? Would I still praise you?
Would I still praise you?
I still praise you, from the depths of my soul to heaven's throne, where all glory and praise belong. May my praise to you be much more than a song. When the darkening clouds fill up the sky and hide the light of day,
when the storms of life come pouring down and my dreams are washed away,
when the driving rain of grief and pain overwhelms me in its flood, will my soul rejoice and lift your name on high? Will I still praise you?
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 Will the faith and love I have for you be strong? Will I still praise you? I still praise you, praise you. From the depths of my soul to heaven's throne, where all glory and praise belong, may my praise to you be much more than a song. Yes, I praise you. Faith and love I have for you be strong. Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you. Praise you. From the depths of my soul to heaven's throne, where all glory and praise belong, may my praise to you be much more than a song. May my praise to you be much more than a song.
Folks, I appreciate that this morning. Good or bad, he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Isaiah 32, I am excited about this chapter, Isaiah 32, and we're going to get into it. There's no way just to read maybe one or two verses, or as many verses as I should read, that we're going to refer to, because we're going to kind of look at them in a clump and then maybe individually a little bit this morning. But find the book of Isaiah 32, and if you go to Psalms, turn to your right, you'll come to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. If you need an index, you have one in front of your Bible. And let's stand together in honor of God's good word this morning. Isaiah 32, and just for sake of time, let me read verse number, I'll just start reading in verse 1 and I'll stop, okay, when I feel like there's enough. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Let's look down at verse number 8. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. It's a good time to be a liberal. It's a good time to be a liberal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. And we love your word. And this chapter is exciting to me. And I just, Lord, my prayer is that I can transmit the excitement, the things you've put on my heart through this week to say to the folk this morning, thank you for an open Bible. And trust, Lord, I trust you for an open heart. And may your word fall on good ground, bring forth good fruit. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, in today's world, and especially in the USA, the word liberal is used to denote a person's beliefs concerning political issues. Most Bible believers do not line up behind liberal political candidates because of the elements that make up the liberal platform. Liberals are most often pro-abortion. They are pro-redefinition of the marriage relationship, pro-sodomy. They are for higher taxes, parentheses, Illinois. They are socialist-minded when it comes to economics. And so being a liberal is pretty much anathema in the eyes of a Bible believer. But there is an area of Christian living where it is not just okay, it's really good to be called a liberal, and that is in the area of giving. Don't turn to it, Proverbs 11:25. The Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. So don't make fun at fat people. No, I'm just teasing, okay? And then it says, and he that watereth shall be watereth also himself. Now I'm going to come back to that verse in a little bit, but let's get into the context here of Isaiah chapter 32. It's one of the chapters in the Old Testament books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, particularly Isaiah and Ezekiel. When you read these chapters, a lot of times you have to remember that it's prophetical in multiple ways. Okay? This chapter is prophetical about different kingdoms. One kingdom was at hand. It was close by. It was near. Other kingdoms were in the future. Now, let me just kind of talk a little bit about the different kingdoms quickly, then make my point this morning. The kingdom that was near was Hezekiah's kingdom. Isaiah preached during Hezekiah's reign. Okay? You find that out in Isaiah chapter 1. So Isaiah is one of the preachers, the prophets, during the time that Hezekiah is reigning. But Isaiah was preaching before Hezekiah began to reign. And I think before he wrote this, okay? Now, several times in the reign of Hezekiah, he would bounce counsel off of Isaiah. And Hezekiah was a good king. One of the best, if not the best, kings of Judah. Look at verse number 1 here. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. That's true about Hezekiah. He reigned in righteousness. Verse 2 is also true about Hezekiah. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock. When you read that verse, you're reading about a man that's being a blessing to others. Hezekiah was a blessing to others. Hey, people, good kings, good leaders, good presidents, good governmental authorities are a blessing to people. The Bible says when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. Okay? So Hezekiah fits the bill here. He was one such king, okay? So some of chapter 32 could be applied to Hezekiah reigning over Judah, but some of chapter 32 is about a future kingdom, including one that was going to be in place when the Israelites returned from captivity. Okay? In Isaiah, they're not in captivity. They're going into captivity in the future for 70 years, and then they're going to come back, and Isaiah is writing in chapter 32, not only about Hezekiah's kingdom, but about the kingdom that would be restored once the Jews got finished with their captivity. Look again at verse number 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. That very well could be talking about King Cyrus. Cyrus was a blessing to the Jews. Cyrus was the king that the Spirit of God was poured out on. Look at verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Now look, when the Israelites went into captivity, they were the only people left in Jerusalem and Judah were poor and sick people. Handicapped people, if you will, who could not farm. They could not take care of things. They weren't able to. They were what we might call disabled, okay? So the whole 70 years that Israel is in captivity over in Babylon, the land in Judah is just going to waste. It's growing up in weeds and scrub brush, and it's just like a piece of land that you would see here that's not worked. What if you went by a piece of land that hadn't been worked for 70 years? How do you think that would look? That'd be a mess, right? Okay, so during the captivity, the land is not tilled, it's not worked. Well, Cyrus was raised up by God at the close of the captivity, and Cyrus told the Jews, go back. Go back to Jerusalem. Just go back to your homeland and rebuild. And verses 15 and 16 and 17 talk about the time when the Jews came back from Babylon and the desolate places began to bloom and became fruitful fields. The wilderness was turned into a fruitful field. And so it's not only talking about Hezekiah's kingdom, it's also talking about the coming kingdom of Israel that would be restored after the captivity. We're together so far, right? And then I won't go long on this, but some of this chapter is also applied to when Christ comes. When Christ reigns and his kingdom. So you've got to read chapter 32 and you've got to bear in mind that he's talking about kingdoms that are close at hand and kingdoms that are a ways off and kingdoms that are a long ways off. In fact, Christ's kingdom still hasn't been set up yet. All right? So all of this is going on in chapter 32. Now, I want you to look with me at verses 6 and 7. He's going to be talking here. Here's the thing. Let's go back to here come the Israelites. They're out of captivity. They're coming back into the land to restore Jerusalem, to restore the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel. And what he's saying here is, look at verse number 5. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. What's he talking about here? Okay, what's he all talking about? Okay, the children of Israel have been in captivity for 70 years. Over here in the land of Judah, in the city of Jerusalem, the land has just gone to waste. Hasn't been worked, hasn't been taken care of for 70 years. So now, here come this group of people back into the land, and what God is saying here is, when all these people get back in the land, their true character is going to be revealed. Parenthesis. What takes place after natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey and Irma? Looting. You know what you see after hurricanes? You see the good and the bad in people. The land where we hunt. Out of about an hour from here, the landowner, we tried to call him yesterday to make contact with him yesterday afternoon. He was in Florida. He has a home in Florida. His neighborhood was affected by the hurricane. He was down there. His house was pretty much spared. He was down there helping his neighbors. You see a lot of that. You see guys load up their pickup trucks with chainsaws and generators and from hundreds of miles away go down to help people that they don't know. You also have people that go into stores that don't have electricity and loot and steal and take advantage of people's difficulties. Are you with me? So God says, when these people come back from the captivity, when they come back from Babylon, and they come into Jerusalem, they come into Judah, you know, the true character of people is going to be revealed. You're going to have two types of people. You're going to have vile people and churlish people. You know what the word churlish means? It means rude and surly and miserly. You're going to have people who are in it just for themselves. Okay? Then on the other hand, you're going to have verse number 8. The liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. You're going to have quote unquote good people who come into a tragic situation and they start looking for ways to be a blessing, not only to help themselves, but to help others. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Okay? So he's talking here about a future event. He's talking here about when the children of Israel are released from captivity, they come back into the land that's been desolate for 70 years. Nobody's farmed it. Nobody's worked it. It's just a wilderness. It's not producing anything. And when some people get back, you're going to have some churlish people who are in it only for themselves. And then you're going to have some liberal people who are in it. Yeah, they're in it to make a living, but they're in it not for themselves only. They're in it to help others as well. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about it's a good time to be a liberal. Or I could say it's a bad time to be churlish. All right? It's a good time to be a liberal. Let's look at verse number 8. Let's go through it. Look at it with me. Number 1, look at the liberal. Okay? You see the first. Okay? But the liberal. Okay? You see, let's stop right there. The liberal. Okay? Now, what do we learn here? Again, this is not a political description. This is a character description. This is about a person who, yes, you know, they're going to be in it for, they're going to get something out of it, but it's more than just about them. It's about people beyond them. Okay? This is a person of a free heart. One who gives or one who bestows is bountiful and is generous and is enlarged in the realm of the physical. This is the guy who lives 600 miles away, who throws a chainsaw and fuel and oil and a generator in the back of his truck and takes off and he goes in just to help people clear the trees and the debris out of the way. That's this guy. He's a free-hearted. He's open. He's bountiful. He's generous. His heart is enlarged. We're not talking here about political leanings. I'm not asking you about political leanings this morning. I'm asking you, I'm asking me about our hearts. And we're going to bring it all down to this. Missions. Are you a liberal? Are you a liberal? Is life more than just about you and yours? Now you got to take care of you and yours. And God's not angry at that. But it's about more than just you and yours. Are you a liberal? Are you of a free heart? Or are you a miser? You don't have to answer. I doubt anybody jumps up and goes, yeah, I'm a miser and I'm proud of it. What's your heart like? And by the way, folks, let me just say, you know, if you're sitting there and if you're doing an honest examination of your life right now, and maybe the Holy Spirit's helping you do that, and you kind of look at things and you think to yourself, you know what, really? I'm kind of wrapped up in myself. I'm kind of wrapped up in what is going on in my life, me and mine, and not much further than that. Can I say to you this morning, I got good news for you. This is a reminder that it requires the grace of God to make a miser into a liberal. And if you've been here over the years, you've heard me preach this, you know this. What do we say changes, if you will, what do you say, you know, takes place and changes a lady of the street, a woman of the street, into a godly, pure, honest, clean, honorable, living woman? What takes place in that woman's life? The grace of God. What takes a thief and cleans him up and makes him honest? What does that? The grace of God. Right? What takes a drunk and makes him clean? So he never drinks again. The grace of God. Amen and amen and amen. And the grace of God. And the same thing can be said about people who are miserly becoming a liberal. It takes God's grace. Now that's a good thing. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible tells us that the God of grace, His grace, all grace is available for all things. Yes, God can sober up a drunk, and God can make a woman of the street pure, and God can take a thief and make him honest, and God's grace can take a miser and make him liberal. So, you know, if you've been miserly, don't just sit down in your miserliness. You know what I would do if I was you? I'd get on my knees and ask God to change me. Change me. I don't want to live my life, you know, me and mine, us four and no more. I want my heart to be enlarged. It's a good time to be a liberal. An excellent time to be a liberal. Are there any of us in this room who need to loosen up and become a liberal? If so, we're in need of God's grace, and praise God, His grace is available to one who wants it. Okay, now, so you got the liberal, all right? Number two, I like this point. The liberal finds ways to be liberal. Look at verse 8 again. But the liberal, here we go now, deviseth liberal things. So this liberal person, this free-hearted, this open-hearted, this guy, he goes down to check on his house in the storm. As a result of the storm, this message was already written, but yesterday's illustration fit perfectly into it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He goes down, okay, my house is good, and so now I'm going to go to my neighbor's house and cut the trees out of their yard and go down the street and help the widow lady and go over here and help the young mother and the young couple just get... He did this guy with an open heart, with a free heart. He's got an enlarged heart. He's looking. He's thinking. He's proactive. He's devising ways to be open-hearted. He's not of the mindset, I'm going to get in my truck, my chainsaw, my generator, drive down, check on my house, turn around and go home. What would you call a guy like that? Churlish? A miser? But that's not this liberal. This liberal goes, and this liberal has an open heart, a free heart, and a large heart. Okay, I'm okay. So now let's help her. Let's help them. Let's help him. Let's help this young. And he's looking for ways. You know, and by the way, in its context, you know what I think this is talking about? I think this is talking about those men who left captivity. They go back to Judah. They go back to Jerusalem. And here's the weeds grown up, you know, 4 feet high. And the scrubs and the land is sitting desolate. And they start clearing the land off. And it's not just for themselves. They start thinking about ways, what can I do to help my neighbor? What can I do to help my friends? What can I do with this piece of ground to make it productive and fruitful, not just for my own pantry, but for their pantries? What can I do? How can I work the ground and till the ground, cultivate the ground and fertilize the ground so that I can get a great crop, have enough for myself and my family, but also share with everybody? He's a liberal. He's liberal-hearted. He's looking for ways to be a blessing. Do you look for ways to be a blessing? That's what he's doing. How can I be a blessing to somebody? It's not just about me and mine. Brother, if that's the world you live in, I don't care how big your family is, it's a small world. How can I reach, how can I extend myself beyond my little parameters and include my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my friend? The liberal man is motivated. He's moved. I believe by the Spirit, a Spirit from on high, will move us and motivate us to look for ways beyond our enlargement to help others and people. When the Spirit of grace works in our hearts, when the Spirit of grace works in our lives in such a way that makes us a liberal, we look for opportunities to be generous. Hey, can I make an announcement this morning? Do you realize realize you're not limited to the offerings that we take when we pass the plates? You're not limited to that plate to be blessing to others? Now, that's a way to be obedient. But folks, there are other ways to be generous, to distribute. And liberal souls will be aware of those opportunities, and they'll look. In fact, liberal souls create. Look at the word. Look at what it says. The liberal deviseth. When you're devising something, what are you doing? You're creating. You're concocting. Is that right? Okay. You're planning. You're even scheming about how can I be a blessing. Instead of scheming in sinful ways, how about scheming in righteous ways? How can I be a blessing? Brother Thompson loves Starbucks. I don't drink Starbucks. I hate Starbucks. I like Dunkin' Donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You can go to Dunkin', you can get a cup of coffee for $2. You won't get in the door at Starbucks for $2. And you got, I stand in line and I hear these people, you know, if I'm ever at one, at an airport sometimes that's all they have, but you know, you stand there and I want this double shot, purple peppermint spritzed latte, espresso, frapped and cappuccinoed, and I'm thinking, good grief. You'd have to have an education to work at a Starbucks. He loves them. He loves Starbucks. When I go to Austin to his church, how about a coffee, brother? Brother, y'all have a heart. I should have told you in advance. You have to listen carefully to Brother Thompson. He had 4 diseases as a boy before he was age 11 that affect your throat. There's like 6 diseases that affect your throat, your speech. He had 4 of them. His voice kind of cracks. That's why he drinks a Coke. Coke helps him. You know, you've heard me say how hard it is for little kids to sit in a church service and see the pastor take a sip of water. I think it is when he's drinking Coca-Cola up here, amen, you know. They're all thinking. I love that. But. So we go get a coffee and go to Starbucks and, you know, give me the coffee, regular, half cut, cream only. Got, that's it. I don't need no fraps, caps, pinches, twists, just plain. Give me the coffee. Now we gave the missionaries, you gave the missionaries, families, gift cards, Red Lobster, Olive Garden, Shell, Walmart. I mean, gift cards. They left out of here with an envelope full of gift cards, all of them. But we didn't do that for Brother Thompson. So I thought, man, I'm going to be a blessing to him. So I went to Starbucks. I bought 10 $10 gift cards with church money, And no, I didn't vote on it. I'm sorry, okay? But it's in the budget of missions conference. I bought 10 $10 gift cards, and I brought them to the Wednesday night international dinner. I went around and found some of the teenagers and the young kids, and I said, hey, take this up to Brother Thompson and just give it to him. Don't tell him where you got it. Well, I was sitting with him, and you know, he said, this is a conspiracy. This is, you know. Now, one reason I did that, I wanted to be a blessing to him. Now, he's got 10 $10 Starbucks gift cards, 10 of them. And you know what he'll probably do with some of those? Give them away. I know him pretty well. But the other reason I did it was to exhibit or demonstrate ways that people can be liberal. And really, folks, you know, and maybe I should do a better job communicating, but you know, when we have guests in, guest pastors, evangelists, you know, they like something, you know, and you can pretty much count on everybody does Dunkin' Donuts just about. Everybody just about. Some do Starbucks. Well, I do McDonald's still. What are you saying, Brother Angel? Scheme. Devise. You know, the liberal soul is not made to do it. The liberal soul jumps. But more than that, he creates an opportunity. He finds a way to be a blessing. What is this? I want you to give a generous love offering when we have guests in, and you do, and thank you for that. But you know what? Liberal people look for ways to be generous outside of the offering. This could be ways to help people who are in need in our own church, ways to help people who are here as our guest. Devise it. Look, if the money from your regular income limits your giving to missions, you know what the liberal heart says? What can I do to create some income, not for me, but to give to missions? We're pretty good at looking for ways to create an income to help meet our needs. How about looking for ways, devising a way, if I'm limited in what I can do? What can I do that take the money that I get from this and give it all to missions? What can I scheme? See, folks, we have such a victimized attitude. I can't. You may not be able to on what you're bringing home, but can you devise a scheme? And I don't mean go down and rob the store. I can play the lottery. No, do it right. Do it right. You know, okay, so I can't. So we sit down in this big pool of can't. And that justifies our position. I can't. You maybe can't, but can you scheme? I didn't figure it would be a shouting message this morning, but it's all right. I've had a good time with this. What can I do? What can I scheme? How can I devise a plan, okay? What can I invent? You know, recently I was down in Albuquerque, and, you know, I was just touched in my heart. There was a missionary and his wife there, and I think I had $25 cash in my pocket. That's all I had. But I just went up, I folded it up, put it in my hand, just went up and said, "Hey, man, I appreciate you, and I do, and he'll be here with us next year." Not next year? Yes, next year. Sometime in the future. He'll be with us. And just put it in this. You know, and you can have fun doing it. You can have fun giving. I haven't told this story in a long time, but I was down in Arlington, Texas at Trinity Baptist Church. I was one of the speakers in a conference, and it was not my night to speak. And I was sitting there at the end of a pew, and the service just was started, and this assistant pastor and his family came in and sat down in the pew, and this little maybe 8 or 9 year old girl was sitting maybe, you know, just like from the end of the pulpit here. She was sitting here and I was sitting here, and you know, he was in this assistant pastor, and forgive me, the first guy got up and he was preaching, and you know, she had a little sweater laying there, and I had a whole, for some reason, I had a pocket full of $1 bills. I thought, you know what, I'm going to have some fun. So she was, you know, like 8, 9 year olds do sometimes, you know. And while she wasn't looking, I put a dollar bill on her sweater. And I just looked at the pulpit. And out of my peripheral, I was watching her, and I saw her sitting there. She looked at her dad. And I saw her little hand. She made sure I wasn't looking. She made sure her dad wasn't looking. She got that dollar bill. So a few minutes went on. I put another one there. I put about $5, $6, or $7 bills there. I should have been listening to the preacher, but I was having so much fun in that message, watching that little girl get that money. That's just fun. You ever scheme about, let me ask you, don't answer this out loud. You ever scheme about how you can get? Do you ever scheme about how you can give? That's what he said. The liberal deviseth liberal things. He finds a way. What am I going to do with this land? What am I going to do with this land? Man, I got to find a fresh spring. I got to dig a trench. I got to put some conduit in here. I got to bring this water in. I got to till this up because, look, I need to eat, and my neighbor needs to eat, and she needs to eat, and he needs to eat, and they need to eat, and this needs to be productive. What can I do? How can I do this? I can do. Are you with me? Are you listening this morning? So the liberal, he's the liberal. He's got an open heart, free spirit, open heart. Man, here I go. He defines a way to give. Yeah, I've told you before, we had an evangelist here one time, and he was a young evangelist. He was started, but he was still rather young. And he came to me afterwards, and he said, man, in your church, my vehicle was parked out here. He said, man, in your church, walked by and saw my tires are nearly bald. He bought me a set of tires. It's finding a way. I'm not saying, right away, we jump to the can't syndrome. Okay, you can't buy a set of tires. Can you buy a $5 gift card? Find a way. Number three, we're done. The liberal reaps what he sows. And I got about 4 minutes here that I'd like to finish, but I want to get the liberal reaps what he sows. Look at verse number 8. But the liberal, this guy that's free-hearted, open-hearted, he deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. In other words, the liberal things by liberal things he shall stand, he shall be established, he shall be supported. Here it is, folks, because of his liberality, he's going to be supported. I take you back to Proverbs. You know what? We don't have time for that. I'm just going to move on. The liberal soul should be made fat. The liberal soul, the one that waters, shall be watered also himself. This principle is taught all through the Bible. The liberal reaps. Questions? Listen. Because I'm not trying to hound you, and I'm definitely not trying to hurt you. And I'm definitely not trying to be a church that, you know, reaches a certain type of level where they're, that's not in my heart. What's in my heart is to help us. Amen. Questions. Is there a coming one world economy? Yes or no? Yes. How do we know that? Bible talks about it. Question two. Is there a coming financial collapse? Yes. Now, I don't know if it's this week. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But listen, folks, if the first question is a yes, then the second question has to be, the reason there's a one world economy is because the world's economy is shattered. If the world's economy is prospering, why fix it? Unless you're Mike Madigan. Got to have something to do with your life. There is a coming collapse. Now, if there's no collapse, do a little reading on this baby boomer generation and when they get old and the amount of money available to meet and care for them in their older years. I'm not doomsdaying, folks. I'm talking reality. Now, I don't know if it's another. It could be 50 years out. I don't know. But at some point, there's a one-world economy. At some point, there's a financial collapse, or there wouldn't be a one-world economy. Could the collapse take place in our lifetime? Could it? If it collapses during our lifetime, are you ready? Well, I got some gold and silver, I got some precious metal, I got my 401k, I've got a pension, I've got some cash buried in the back. I've got some stocks to sell. In a collapse, it's all pretty much go back to 29. The people with the most laid up were jumping off buildings. this is a doomsday message. No, I'm going somewhere. If it's all useless, who's going to provide for you? During the horrible drought of Elijah's day, who provided for Elijah? During that same drought, who provided for that widow and her son? Who did? Is that the best we can do with the name of God? God? Who provided? Oh. During the siege of Samaria, when the people of Israel were surrounded by the Syrians and they started eating their own children, who finally provided for the people? God did. During Hagar's expulsion from the household of Abraham, when she and Ishmael were cast out in the desert on their own and the water was all gone, who provided water? During the Israelites' wilderness wanderings, who provided a table in the wilderness? Could there come a day when you and I will need to be cared for directly from God's hand? The 401k won't do it. The gold and silver won't do it. The cash in the backyard is worthless. It won't even buy a piece of bread. Who's going to care for us? I'm talking about reality, folks. Now, whether it comes in our lifetime or not, I don't know. It's a good time to be a liberal. I am not saying sell all your stocks, sell all your gold and silver, don't invest in anything, give it all. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, listen, listen, listen. You, along with your stocks and bonds and your 401ks and your gold and silver, whatever you're doing to invest, along with your real estate, I'm not against that. I've got some investment in real estate, okay? You guys gave me that. I'm not against it. Don't label me that. I'm just saying, along with that, you want to make dead sure that you're doing something in the name of the one who will provide for you when it's all said and done. In other words, I would not be heavily here and tipping here. I would be pretty heavy here and tip here. Hey, it's a good time to be a liberal. Amen. And one of the ways that I can invest in God is missions giving. And if I'm open-hearted and free-hearted, I'm going to find a way. I will not sit down in the pool of can't based on my current income. I'm going to find a way, knowing that what I give to His work, He someday will give back to me. What a God. Father in heaven, would you bless us this morning? I pray that you'll help us to be liberal in this area. Help us not to be miserly, but to have an open heart, a free heart, to look beyond ourselves. Lord, may we scheme as much on how to give as we scheme on how to get. Would you help us? Would you work in our hearts this morning? Would you, Lord, teach us? Would you lead us? Thank you for your promises to care for us. Help us to make sure we got the right balance in this thing of giving to you and your work. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I want to be that free-hearted, open-hearted liberal. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning all over the room? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. And maybe you're already on your way to being that. And if you are, the grace of God is at work in your life. It's the reason for it. It's certainly not something that we conjure up ourselves. Maybe you just make a prayer like this for the next several days. God, show me a way. Make a way for me to be able to give to missions. knowing all the while that God's going to support you when you need it most. Is there anybody here this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now that I go to heaven. Pray for anybody like that. All right. Is there anybody here that needs to be baptized in deep water? You've not been baptized since you've been saved. Pastor, I need to take that step. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. The altar is open. You obey the Lord this morning. God, enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. Give me a free heart. And help me devise a way to be a blessing. Scheme a little bit to give, to be a blessing, to help others.